Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon from our Southwest campus.
Good morning, church. How's everybody doing? Oh, wonderful. Good morning, church. How's everybody doing? Well, good. You're doing better than I am. It was an awesome week at camp, but I feel like I left my voice there and all of my strength and energy and my health as well. But we had a great time leading students in worship with a group I was leading with, and I'm excited to be home and worship with you guys.
We're going to gather just for a moment for some prayer, and then we're going to have Morgan come up. So I don't know about where you're at right now, but when we woke up this morning, life was a little different than it was yesterday. Something crazy happened last night. You didn't hear the news. And it's a crazy world that we live in. And as a church, as people of God, we find ourselves in these kind of places. And I think it's only correct that we come to God and we pray. Amen. That we lift up our country, that we lift up our service folks, that we come before God and ask Him to hear our hearts. So I'm going to lead us this morning in a little prayer time. If you would bow your heads, and for the next so many seconds or so, if you'll just say a prayer for our country, and then I'll close us with a word of prayer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Eternal God, we come into your presence this morning, asking that you hear from us, that you hear our prayers. As we pray for our country, as we pray for our service folks, as we pray for our enemies, we just come and cry out to you, Lord. No matter where we find ourselves in the middle of this struggle, we find ourselves in the middle of you. We find ourselves in the middle of your grace for our lives, for our families. So, Lord, we come before you this morning, lifting up these prayers to you. We pray for those who are our neighbors, for those who are our friends. We lift up those who have had surgery recently, for those who are ill. We lift up Dale Bradley, who had surgery this week. Pray for him and his family. We lift up those unspoken needs that are on our hearts, those that hurt and that pain that we sometimes carry with us. And Father, may this be a place where we can lay that at your cross, at the foot of the cross. Father, we're so good at picking it back up, but Father, may we have a chance to lay that down. And may your Holy Spirit fill us. May we experience the peace that passes all understanding. May we experience your love. We pray for our church here this morning. We pray for Josh and his family as he shares at the other campus. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, the song says, may you surround us. May you walk beside us. May we look back and think we've struggled only to realize that you've been carrying us all this time. And so, Father, we come before you this morning, laying these prayers at your feet, asking you to respond. And, Father, sometimes the response is wait. And we get that as well. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, and sometimes have a little patience. And sometimes, Father, I don't want to wait anymore. But, Father, we come in earnest prayer, asking you to respond. to the cry of our hearts. Eternal God, hear our prayer this morning. If you know it, pray along with me as we pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Come on, Morgan. Come on. Put your hands together and welcome Morgan to the stage. Hey, it's a great day today.
Amen.
Why?
Woo.
What are we going to do?
Okay, so tonight.
Come on. Yeah. No. Okay, go ahead and tell them about tonight.
Okay, so tonight at 6 o'clock, we're having a family cookout. We'd love for y'all to be here. It's here at the Way. Joel, help me. Where are we having it?
Outside somewhere.
So fire pits. We're going to do hot dogs and s'mores, I believe. So please join us from 6 to 8.
Right. And what else?
Also, we have two baptisms today.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to get emotional. I'm so excited. So Judah Rogers and Oakland Patton are going to be baptized today. So please join us. This will be after service, family style in front of the fountain. We'd love you all to witness the two baptisms.
That's awesome. That's what it's about.
All right, kids, we'll go ahead and dismiss, and they will be back in time to join their families to get to the baptism if you'd like to join.
All right. So excited about our baptisms. We truly want everyone to join us out in the fountain. We're doing it a little different than we've been doing it in the past. We're trying to kind of, it just seemed a little impersonal. And so Pastor Andy asked me how I wanted to do it. I said, I just wanted everyone to gather around the fountain, just like real family style. So I got to make my choice. So that's how we're going to do it today. So, yeah. Anyway, as the kids are making their way out to Kids Church, I want to just say you have an opportunity to worship through your giving today. And I want to say, first off, if you're a guest with us, please do not feel any pressure to give. We're not trying to get all your money here. But do give as the Lord calls you as an act of worship today. Let me pray over our finances. Lord Jesus, we look to you this morning, God, and just as I say every week, Father, you are Jehovah Jireh. You're the one who provides, God. And we're so grateful, Lord, that you have given us opportunity, Lord, that many of us have jobs that you've given to us, Lord, that we're able to provide for our families, and we're able to give portions of that back to your kingdom, God. But we know first and foremost, God, that all of that belongs to you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, you say in your word to attest you in that you would provide for us, Lord, when we take part and when we give our tithes and offerings unto you, Lord Jesus, as an act of worship. So Lord, I just want to say thank you, Lord, for that opportunity, and just pray that you would just bless each and every one here, Father, as they give, Lord, bless their businesses, Lord, bless their work situation. And Lord, for those who are in need, Father, we pray that you would bless that situation as well, Lord, that they would be able to get into a position where they're able to also be able to worship and through their giving, Lord, and bless your kingdom, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for this opportunity to give, and we pray that you would just give us an amazing time today, God, that our hearts will be tuned to you as we hear Pastor Gary share, and that we would get to celebrate together as a family baptisms immediately after that. But we thank you, we bless you, we honor you, and give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, Dallas. And we do want to encourage you to give out of what God has blessed you with. And it's so cool because we get to see baptisms, and that is so much fun. That is so much fun. So my name is Pastor Gary, and every now and then I get to share a little bit about what's on my heart, and hopefully Andy won't judge it too harshly. We're glad to have Andy here with us this morning, and it's so much fun to be here. Have you gotten to enjoy Josh's preaching and getting to know Josh? And you're going to see much more of him. One of the things we wanted to try to do is give him a chance to preach at the other campus. Also, maybe give him some time off from time to time. But for today, you kind of stuck with me a little bit. So, but I enjoy getting to do this. And so any way that I can help Andy and help St. Luke's, I'm more than honored to get to do that. And it is an incredible day that we get to see someone come and get baptized. And isn't that awesome? That's awesome that we get to do that. You bet. You bet. So, okay, the scripture this morning comes from Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 46. It's the only way that I can remember it. Matthew 26, verses 36 through 46. It goes like this. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and he prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and he found them sleeping. "Couldn't you keep watch for an hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you'll not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and he prayed, "My Father, if it is possible for this cup to be taken away, unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more, and he prayed a third time, saying the same exact things. Then he returned to the disciples and he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come and the Son of Man is to be delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." The reading of God's word and all God's people said, amen. Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 46. If you could go back to the early 1970s in South Texas, you would find my brother and sisters and I spending time in Galveston, Texas. We got to go there quite regularly. We only lived some 40 or 50 miles from the coast, and we got plenty of time to go down to the ocean. We tried to make it a lot of fun, but the one thing that I remember about the ocean is it's wet, it's salty, and it's hot. And I got sunburned very easily, so oftentimes if you saw this little boy going to the, you would see him covered in all this white stuff. And I would say, "But Mom," she goes, "It's good for you, but I don't look the same as everybody else. I got this stuff all over me." She goes, "But you're going to burn." And we would go and spend time in the ocean. And I did, you know, at that time I thought I could just stay out here all day. No, can't do that. But one of the cool things is if you waded out into the ocean there on the beach in Galveston, you could get out about maybe 20 or 30 yards. And the water would do these things where it would kind of make a wave, and sometimes you'd be standing knee deep. And then all of a sudden, it's this deep, and it would just go back and forth. And we played this game, my brothers and sisters, we'd play this game where whenever the tide was coming, we would jump. And we would come maybe this high or higher, all the way off the ground, and we'd have the water right here with us, and then we would go in towards the ocean, and the next thing you know, we're standing on dry ground. And we'd run out and say, "Let's do it again." And here comes the tide once more. And we would do this for hours. We called it riding the tides. Man, it was so much fun. Well, this morning, I want to use that idea of riding the tides and share a little bit with you about what is happening in this scene with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. If you go all the way back to World War II, towards the end of World War II, sorry, my phone's going off. My watch. If you go all the way back to the end of World War II, the Germans decided to take some of these barges that were filled with cement and sink them in the harbor of this one particular harbor. I don't remember the name, but they sunk hundreds of them so the ships could not come in. And in doing that, they were trying to thwart the Allies. Well, as the war was ending, they decided we need to begin to remove these barges so we can use the port again. And they got the smartest and brightest people together, and they were trying to figure out how can they get these heavy concrete-filled boats off the bottom of the ocean so they could use the port again. Well, one guy, or maybe a couple of guys, came up with this idea. They got these big, round, some say they look like a ball almost, but I kind of think of like a stock tank that's maybe 6 feet deep, and they sealed it so that no water could get in. And they took them out into the ocean, and they strapped chains to them. And when the tide went low, they would take the chains and strap them to the boats, the concrete-filled boats. And then as the tide came in, lo and behold, guess what happened? It picked them right up off the ocean floor. And then once they had them floating, all they had to do is move them off to the sides. I tell you that story because a guy named Dr. Bruce Thielman told this story one time, and I heard it, and I thought, man, that's an incredible story about grabbing hold of this tide and using it and allowing it to live in our lives. Because oftentimes, a tide comes into our lives, and we don't even see it. Because guess what we're doing? We're sleeping. Can you not stay awake? I've come here 3 times, and you've been asleep every single time. Because there's power in the ocean tides. Amen? And if we can harness that power in our lives, what an incredible thing the Holy Spirit is going to do. Because, you see, when the Holy Spirit comes and moves in our lives, we have but just a second to get after it. And it's like, here he comes. Here comes the Spirit. Because if we're sleeping, it just kind of goes on by. You know, the Scripture says the Spirit comes where it wants to come and goes where it wants to go. We don't really know. But the power of the tides is incredible. In the play Julius Caesar, Act No. 4, he said, William Shakespeare said, "There is a tide in the affairs of men. We must take the currents when they're available." What Shakespeare was saying through Brutus is this: there are mighty tides that move through the affairs of God's people, in a sense. We have to recognize them, and we got to ride the wave. I wish the tide of the power of the Holy Spirit was just like the ocean, where it was just constant all the time. But it's not like that. Sometimes it comes, sometimes it goes. As pastors, we love to say, "Yeah, that was my idea." Nope, didn't have anything to do with that. That's God. That's the Holy Spirit. It's not me. But if we can catch the tide, oh, we can see incredible things happen. But if you miss the tides, you may never get that chance again. Ride the tides. Learn to ride the tides that present opportunities to the people of God. Be attuned and be aware that there are tides of the Holy Spirit moving. Think about David as he picked up the stones. He had an opportunity, didn't he? You know, David could have easily have just set them on the ground and said, "Yeah, I don't want to do that." But he felt this Holy Spirit speaking into his life, and he picked up the stones. Think about Samson as he got to the end of his life and he pulled the pillars down. He didn't have to. He could have just left it like it was. But he recognized the power of the Holy Spirit moving. Think about Noah. Man, he was somewhere west of Morton when it started raining. Can you imagine if you live west of Morton and you start building a boat out there? I mean, even Monty Smith would laugh at you. I mean, that's just crazy. But Noah saw the tides. Noah saw the power of the Holy Spirit. "Come with me to an ancient garden set upon the hillside just outside of Jerusalem. 35 miles from the sea, but great tides are flowing through this garden that evening. Jesus just finished the Last Supper, and the chaos of the cross is right in front of him. And he's trying to pray to the Father. He wants to see if there is another way possible. If there is any other way, Father, take this from me." And he takes with him 3 of his good friends. into the garden because he needed them. The tides are crashing. And when he returns, he finds that they're sound asleep. He prays again. Drops of blood are coming from his sweat. In fact, his prayer at the end gets interrupted by the sound of the feet of the soldiers coming to carry him towards the cross. Judas is there. The hour has come and deception is near. The waves are crashing and they lead him away. The sound in the garden is one of complete silence from the disciples who are hiding because they're afraid. I'm reminded of the movie I watched several years ago about a little girl who's upstairs and she begins to discover that someone has broke into her house. And she's got her mom, I think, on the phone, and she says, go into the closet and hide. And the disciples are doing the very same thing. Have you ever been in a spot where you're so scared you can hear your breath just... And that's where the disciples find themselves. They could have ridden the tide, but they didn't. They missed the tide. They were hiding. They were asleep. Wake up, church. The tide's moving. Don't get caught asleep. We're going to see the tide move just outside of here when the baptism of the begins to take place. But the disciples missed the tide. They missed the tide of growth in their character. Every one of us can grow in our character. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need to grow a little bit. Go ahead. Go ahead. Growth in our character. We all need to feed our character, to nourish our character, to expand our character. It's easy to look around and think we've lost our character in our country, because I think we have in a sense. In a society where behavioral science has so affected our culture, we're taught that our environment affects us, that we are hopeless to make any decisions. When there's no morality, when there's no standard, when there's no truth, you can say a culture has lost its character. It should come as no surprise that there are so many who are weak in character. Don't we need to grow in our character? The disciples missed the opportunity to grow in their character. You see, there are moments when we are open to character development, moments when we are open to the move of God's Holy Spirit in our lives, moments when God is crouching at the door to come and to speak into our lives. Someone from our past political science area, Henry Kissinger, said, moments cannot be hoarded. Once they pass, they are irretrievable. And the disciples slept. Don't miss the tides. Don't miss the tides with an opportunity to grow in your character. Don't let God find you asleep. Don't miss the tides. They also missed the tide of growth as the children of God. They missed the tide of the growth of children of God. You know, you can light a match wherever you want to. You can gather wood in a big circle. You can put some lighter fluid on it and light it up. You can set a grill and put your briquettes in there and put some lighter fluid and make it start. You can fire up everything. But the fire of the Holy Spirit of God, it comes when it wants to. It comes whenever it wants to. It hovers, like in Genesis, over the earth. And in Gethsemane that night, the fire of the Holy Spirit was all about going to and fro. And what did the disciples do? They were sound asleep. Don't find yourself asleep. When Jesus came a second time, he didn't even bother to wake them up. He just turned around and went back. Oh, I remember one time. We were little kids and they sent a rocket up into space to try to see how far they could go. And every day we'd come home and we'd want to know how far did they get and how far did they get. And they kept going back and forth. And then all of a sudden, they lost complete communication with the satellite, with the rocket. Sometimes we can be like that. We have this connection with God and we've got it going on, and then all of a sudden God's still talking and we quit listening. And they slept. A move of God's voice in our lives. Moments come when the Spirit of God is moving in our hearts and we need to make a decision. And too many oftentimes we just wait and we sleep. And the moment is gone. Don't miss the tides of God. Wake up. Some 10 years ago, I was sitting in my office, and I just felt God's Spirit speaking into my spirit. I don't know how to describe it exactly. I just had this feeling. And I do my best to respond, because I don't always do very well at that. I mean, none of us do. But I just felt God saying, you need to go and do this. And I went, and I tried my best to follow where God was leading me. And that particular day, he sent me to the courthouse. I don't typically go to the courthouse. You know, I mean, I've been thrown in jail a couple of times and, you know, that kind of stuff. But I typically don't spend a lot of time at the courthouse. You know, I've gone and paid traffic fines, you know, that kind of thing. So I end up at the courthouse thinking, Lord, why am I here? I walk through the door, and just to the right as I go in, there's a friend of mine that went to our church. I thought, I'm going to stop in to see him. Maybe God's doing something there. So I just open the door, and I go in, and I said, hey, I'm here to see. And I come on back, and I get in, and I go into his office, and I say, how are you doing? And he's sitting at his desk, sobbing. I was like, oh, my gosh, are you okay? He couldn't hardly speak. And I was like, okay, Lord, I'm here. And I said, what's going on? And he said, I just found out I have cancer. I haven't even told my wife. I said, oh. He said, what are you doing here? And I said, I don't know. I don't have any idea. But I think the Lord wants me to pray for you. Don't miss the tides. It's easy to fall asleep. It's easy to do that. Ride the tide. When the tide of the Spirit is moving, you have but two choices. You can ignore it, or you can hang on. For you never know what's going to happen when the Holy Spirit moves. I like to hang on. And the Spirit said, pray. Ride the tide. You never know how much time is left. You must hurry. You must hasten. Today is the day. Now is the acceptable time. The disciples had a chance to grow as the children of God, but they slept. They missed the tide of growth as friends of Jesus also. The third thing the scripture tells us is that Jesus needed his friends. Friends are at their greatest need when trouble is just around the corner. Amen. You never know how special your friends are until trouble crouches at your door. Jesus was in trouble, and when you're in trouble, you need your friends. That's who Jesus took with him into the garden. I remember working at church camp at Cedar Canyon for years, and all of the kids would say, sing that song. Friends are friends forever. When the Lord's the Lord. And I remember that because it's so powerful. And you think that of Jonathan and David. You think of Ruth and Naomi, Paul and Timothy and Barnabas and Peter, James and John. Friends matter. You can't get out of this world by yourself. You need friends around you. You need people who you can stand next to, who can hug you when things are bad, who can clap when things are going well. And Jesus asked his friends to watch. And what did they do? They fell asleep. When he came with the stain of the earth on his robe, they were asleep. You might say they missed the tide of friendship. When he came with drops of blood, of sweat on his brow, they were asleep. They missed the tide when Jesus needed them the most. At this stage in my life, I have the opportunity to attend quite a few retirement celebrations. We have a chance to do that, like sometimes once a week or once a month. And we all get in a room and we all go, you made it. I don't know if we made it because we're still alive. I don't know if the worm didn't kill us. I don't know, but we all get there and go, well, you made it, you made it. And you know who's always there? Their friends. Their friends. And you start milling in the crowd and you say, well, hey, well I met them in 19, and I knew them. And all of a sudden you realize everybody in the room was a friend and a connection of some kind or another. That's what happens at retirement parties, because friends matter. Amen? Don't miss the tide of friendship. I say to you today on June the 22nd, 2025, there are people who need your friendship today. We need you to put your arm around their shoulder. We need you to pat them on the back. Who need you to whisper a word of encouragement or a smile or to call them on the phone or to text them. They need your friendship because it matters. Don't miss the tide of friendship. Don't sleep. Because once it's gone, it's too late. Every one of us will take the final exam at the same time. And when that time comes, do you know what those people need? They need friends. Your friendship is important. Don't underestimate that. So this morning, when we talk about the tide that we can ride, we talked about the character. Don't miss out on the character, which is the armor of the soul. Or the commitment, which is the salvation of the soul, or the service, which is the function of our soul to serve mankind. Because I reminded you that we need to catch the tide. Just as a little boy, when I would jump up in the and allow the tide to take me, I want to encourage you to do the same thing in your spiritual life. Ride the tides. Now, I know some of you here may love to surf. Maybe some of you understand that completely. Not me. I couldn't do that. I tried one time, spent money and time. Didn't happen. I had more fun where I just jump up and let the tide just take me. Today, the word of the Spirit is today. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Catch the tides and ride. Come to Christ today. Grow in Christ today. Serve in Christ today. Build friendships in Christ today. Ride the full tide of the Holy Spirit. Day. Just don't be sleeping in the garden. Amen. Wake up. Ride the tides. Would you bow your heads as we pray? Eternal God, as we come to worship, as we come to the end of worship this morning, place on our hearts that person or those people who need to hear from us. Place on our heart those folks who need our friendship. Allow us to ride the tide. But Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will come and speak into our lives this morning. For today is the day of acceptance. Today is the day when you are moving in our lives. Move in the life of this congregation and of these people. And allow us to just hang on and enjoy the ride. But Father, we have to hang on. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.